This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
We saw global stocks edging higher today. Safe havens were still in play, though, as markets tried to balance some fading optimism over the latest China-US trade truce with the likelihood of a Brexit deal. Could it be that British PM Boris Johnson is on the brink of securing a Brexit deal? Well, certainly, if you look at the pound, that seems to be the indication. If we look at stocks across the globe, the MSCI's gauge of global stocks gained 0.2% today. We saw the Pan-European Stock 600 adding 0.4%. And we clawed back most of yesterday's losses, largely with the Aussie now up 5.3% so far this year. We gained 0.5% today. With your view from the market is Nessun Nair, Senior Portfolio Manager at Sasfin Wealth here in studio. And on the line, Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist and Advisory Partner at Citadel. Nessun, the pound does seem to indicate that we could see a Brexit deal soon.
It seems like it. You know, I only hope that we don't get disappointed like we were last week, thinking that there was a breakthrough in the US-China trade deals, only to hear that the Chinese didn't know anything about it. But this time around, France seems to be positive. You know, France is a major player in the European Union. And, you know, we've got until the end of the month. Initially, when it was announced that the 31st of October was the deadline for Brexit, we thought it was a long way away. But we're 2 weeks away from that right now. So pound hitting 128 today. The pound-related shares on the JSE having a fantastic day. I mean, Capital & Counties was up, 4.65%. Quilter was up as well. Investec 2.3%. Into Properties up 14%.
Into Pop.
So it seems like, you know, the market seems to be very positive about it. Even shares like Mondi was also up. I mean, they listed in London. So I think all in all, a very positive move today. But let's just wait for further developments.
It's a very rapidly moving story, Martin. At the moment, I'm reading on British news websites that a draft treaty could be published as early as tomorrow morning. They're quoting unnamed British and EU sources here, and it's understood that the negotiating teams have agreed in principle that there will be a customs border down the Irish Sea. That was the arrangement that was rejected by Theresa May as a deal that no British Prime Minister could accept. What do you make of it? Do you think we'll see the deal?
I think is definitely in a corner. You know, we're 2 weeks away from the date. What always amazes me is they've been busy with this for 3 years, and now that we've got a couple of weeks left now, suddenly we can actually get to an agreement. Why couldn't we do that right at the start? So how much time did they waste, and how much uncertainty did this cause for markets, you know, for 3 years trying to get to this point?
Well, Martin, that's a great British tradition of muddling along, isn't it, until the final moment?
Yeah, I know, definitely. But, you know, the reality is the way the market's been almost patient, I would say, you know, apart from the pound that took a bit of a knock since the day of the actual referendum, you know, markets generally been rather patient. And I do think where we are right now, it's almost the same as this partial trade deal in the States. You know, markets are getting a little bit more impatient, saying, well, we need something on paper, and the same will happen here. So if we don't see a real progress towards Brexit by the end of this month, then unfortunately I do think markets will turn quite negative on everything around Britain as a result of that.
And that we'll see a lot of reversal of those gains that we did see today, specifically in those UK-focused companies, Intu, Hammerson, really all popping at the moment. Sasol as well, if you look at our top five gainers on the day, Nessun up 4.8%. That's after it said that it's now finished its Lake Charles project review, and that's all of those cost overruns over there. What are you expecting to see out of this? I see the results now expected on the 28th of this month.
I think the idea as to the results announcement helped the share price. If you remember that the Sasol share price seemed to be in a little bit of a downward malaise, if I can call it that, you know, trending from sort of 300 to 240, had a spike up when we had that spike in the oil price after the Saudi attacks. But, you know, it's been one that a lot of investors have stayed away from. Now that we've got some certainty as to when the results are coming out on the 20th of October, it's a Monday, so you know it will set the tone for the week, I'm sure. It gave investors a little bit of confidence today to start, you know, hoping for the best. But it doesn't seem like it's going to be too drastic. I mean, the report that they expected is delivered, and within 2 weeks they're able to prepare the financials. So there can't be too many things that are wrong with the project over and above what we know. But it's very difficult to speculate right now. This was a massive undertaking. You know, it was a $13 billion project that they bet their entire balance sheet on. And I think investors are going to want to see some cash flow coming out of it pretty soon.
Where's David Constable? Off into the sunset, saddlebags bulging. Am I being too disparaging there? Talk to me about the value versus value trap arguments currently raging around Sasol. Full year PE of 7.9 times out to next year. That's a 16% discount. If you look at the 15-year average, its forward PE is around 9.5 times. So that whole debate around, are we seeing value or is this a value trap? I think it's going to continue to rage.
I think so. You know, 15% may seem like a lot in investment terms, but when you factor in the risks, and the risks are really, now that this project has been, you know, or is officially coming to a conclusion, a lot of the capitalized costs and interests have to start going or speeding through the income statement. In other words, they'll have to start amortizing or expensing the capital cost of a $13 billion project. And the question is, are the margins they're going to make out of this cracker, which is really a conversion plant that they have, now those margins need to sustain at a certain level. And we've seen in the last you know, few years that those margins can contract quite quickly and can even turn negative from time to time. And you know, at the same time, you've sunk the capital and you've got to pay the interest on that on the debt that you've borrowed. So I would be cautious at just looking at earnings or PE ratios or past earnings as an indicator of, you know, where earnings are going in the future. I think we're going to see a lot more volatility in earnings, especially as this business, you know, transitions from essentially an oil producer retailer, you know, to a proper petrochemicals company.
And Martin, I think management needing to regain the market's trust and certainly provide confidence away from just pure earnings as to the longer term free cash flow generation ability of the company. What do you make of Sasol at the moment?
Yes, now I think, you know, you spoke about the value trap, and it's not just Sasol, it's the whole South African market, SA Inc., but also including some of the Rand hedges. I think, you know, the market is so hungry for trust and confidence, whether it's through governance. We've had a couple of mishaps on the governance side in corporate SA, in terms of policy certainty projects, like in the case of Sasol. That is what the market is looking for. I think on current valuations, and if you look what's in the pipeline, sticking to Sasol specifically, you know, I don't think it's a value trap. I do think there is an opportunity. Agreeing that, you know, they're coming at a very different company, and at these kind of levels there's definitely potential going forward.
Nathan, speak to me about corporate governance. EOH coming out with its results today, and there's so much to talk about here. The fact that 50 enterprise development partners have been blacklisted. Talk about a bastardization of what enterprise development was really supposed to be. It really just became rent-seeking and creating middlemen, if you look at what happened at EOH. But more than that, it does look like EOH is still trying to hide things from investors. There's an extract from the qualified audit opinion here that I'd like to share with you. Prior period restatement statements should have been accounted for in the current year. Hindsight should not be used in determining adjustment amounts for a prior period. And the auditors saying that the loss for the year ended July this year is understated by 1.8 billion rand. It doesn't look good.
Especially considering that the results themselves shows a 3 billion rand loss year on for the current year. I think one thing that stood out for me is that EOH, the new management anyway, has taken a very forthright position in dealing with this corruption. I mean, they've isolated it to the public sector or their public sector business. You know, they've identified transactions. They've done a report by ENS. which has helped them at least to stem the corruption, you know, or the bulk of the corruption. I think this story plays on for a while because, you know, this sort of thing entrenches itself in the culture of doing business, and you just don't reverse that overnight. I think it takes time to do that. But the full year loss, 30 rand a share, the headline loss, 15 or 16 rand a share. I mean, this is a massive number. You know, the share, 3 billion loss in the context of a company that's got a 1.82 billion market cap. You know, I think it just frames it in the minds of many investors, you know, as to how, you know, the fortunes of a company can change in just a few in just a few years. This was a darling of the market 3-4 years ago, if you remember.
Could do no wrong. A 10-bagger, Ashra Bobart, featuring in double page spreads in the FM and that kind of thing. How the mighty have fallen. Ness and Nair, senior portfolio manager at Sasson Wealth, and Martin Ackerman, chief economist and advisory partner at Citadel, with your view from the market. Puzzoletto has your view from the traffic desk.